listening to a Sword of the Lord audio production.
The message you are about to hear is entitled The Character of Demons by Dr. Curtis Hudson and was recorded on Sunday morning, April 4th, 1974, at the Forest Hills Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia. And now, here's Dr. Curtis Hudson.
I don't want to give an undue emphasis to demons or to Satan. I want to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. But the secret of failure in the majority of the lives of Christians is not that they didn't love Jesus Christ. The secret of failure is not that they didn't read the Bible or not that they did not attend church services. The secret of failure in the majority of Christians' lives who have failed has been that they were totally ignorant of their enemy. And I would suppose that one of the main tactics of Satan would be to try to get Christians to believe that he does not even exist. Someone handed me a paper the other day with several articles in it about Satanism, demonology, about the movie The Exorcist. And I just happened to read several paragraphs, and one person who is a Satan worshiper said, "Well, we worship Satan, go to Satan's church, but we don't even believe in the devil ourselves." Well, that's just like the devil. I mean, to try to make you think there is no devil. Because if you think that he does not exist, then he's already got you whipped, you see. You can't locate your enemy, you can't spot him, you don't know what your problem is. So for that reason, I'm teaching on demonology. Another thing before I get started in the lesson this morning is this. Our battle is not so much against demons as it is against Satan himself. James 4:7 says, "Draw nigh unto the Lord, and he'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil," not demons, "but resist the devil, and he will flee from you." But the devil has a very highly organized kingdom. Let me share with you two or three verses before I flash anything on the overhead projector here. Matthew chapter 12, verse 26, quickly, please. Matthew 12, verse 26. Satan has a very highly organized kingdom. As a matter of fact, he's called the prince of this world. Jesus said the prince of this world has already been judged, or is already judged. He's already condemned. Sentence has already passed. Matthew 12:26 says, "And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? If he has a kingdom, he has subjects, and he has authority that he delegates to various subjects that he rules over, just like any other kingdom." All right, turn quickly too with me, please, to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. And we'll look just briefly at chapter 6. That's on page 1255 if you have an old Scofield Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places." Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That is, Satan himself and his demons are his angels. In Ephesians chapter 2, if you want to turn back a couple of chapters, and in verse 2, the Bible says in the latter part of that verse that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, or the powers of the air. The Greek word air here is the lower, denser atmosphere, somewhere about 6,400 feet up here. You take a Greek on top of Mount Olympus and ask him where is the air, using the same Greek word, he'd point down, which means it's less than 6,403 feet. But he's the prince of the powers of the air. And the devil is not in hell, as some folks think. Neither are his angels in hell, or his demons. They're with him. And so he has a very highly organized kingdom. I memorized this verse yesterday, 2 Corinthians 2:11. It'd be a good memory verse for you, and I hope you'll memorize it this week. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Let me quote it again. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices, our methods, our purposes. We as Christians should not be ignorant of the devices of Satan. And so with that in mind, I'm teaching on demonology. Now, in our first lesson, 3 weeks ago, we studied the reality of demons. Demons are for real. Then, 2 weeks ago, I began studying with you the origin of demons. And I want to continue that this morning, review last week, and then hurriedly, maybe we'll touch just a little on demon possession. It'll take several Sundays for that. In lesson two, I said there are three views about demons. There are three views about demons. You'll find that under D on this outline here. One, some folk believe they're the disembodied spirits of the inhabitants of a pre-Adamite race. Two, some believe that they are the monstrous offsprings of angels and antediluvian women, or women who lived before the flood. Three, others believe that demons are fallen angels. We took this particular thought two Sundays ago and studied it. And I told you that I did not believe that they were the offsprings of angels and antediluvian women. And I gave you reasons as to why. Last Sunday, we were studying this one. Are demons the disembodied spirits of a pre-Adamite race? And let me quickly review that with you. It won't take but just a moment or so. And if you didn't get this, you may jot it down if you write fast. I didn't use the overhead projector much last Sunday because the platform was so high, so I'll use it this morning. Number one, I do not believe that there was a pre-Adamite man. There were no men before Adam. I don't believe that. I'll give you two reasons. Number one, the Bible says nothing about such a race of people. And number two, the Bible says Adam was the first man in 1 Corinthians 15:45. Number two, I do believe there was a pre-Adamite creation. Not everybody agrees with this, but I happen to believe this. I took time to show you that the original earth, when it was created, was not created in vain, but was created to be inhabited. That's all found in one verse, Isaiah 45:18. He created it not in vain, but he created it to be inhabited. The world, as it's found in Genesis 1:2, is in vain. It's without form and void, and darkness is upon the face of the deep, in Genesis 1:2. If he didn't create it like that, then it had to become like that. Something had to happen to make it become like that. And the thing that did happen was that Lucifer ruled on this earth over a number of angels. And he attempted to exalt his throne above God. In fact, he wanted to be God. He still does during the tribulation period. He will set himself up as God, demand worldwide worship, with the penalty, if you don't bow down and worship him, you'll be beheaded. That's in Revelation chapter 13. Of course, Christians, believers, won't be here during the tribulation period. But when he tried to exalt his throne above God's throne, he was cast down. This is found in Isaiah chapter 14. Now, sixth thing is, a number of angels, I believe, rebelled with Satan. When he rebelled, I believe a number of angels rebelled with him, and they became what is known as Satan's angels, as his angels. Because we know that in the original creation, God didn't create a devil, say, okay, here's the devil, and let's see how many angels I'm going to create for the devil. I'm going to create him so many angels. God didn't create a devil. God didn't create a sinner. The devil became the devil of his own choice when he went to exalt his throne above God's throne. Man became a sinner by his own choice when he deliberately disobeyed God and partook of the forbidden fruit. In Genesis, it's recorded. And as a result, he became a sinner. And as a result, everybody who's the offspring of Adam is a sinner. Romans 5:12, Romans 5:19. Matthew 25:41 says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. So we know he's the devil, we know he has angels. Now, there's not a verse that says the devil rebelled and so many angels rebelled with him and they became his angels. But there is scripture that seems to indicate that. Those scriptures I shared with you last Sunday. The number of angels who rebel with Satan is not known, but there is a suggestion as to percentage. By the way, if you want to turn with me to Revelation chapter 12, we'll look at that. Revelation chapter 12. This is not proof positive here, but it seems to be a suggestion. I would not say that a certain percent of the angels rebel with Satan, but it seems indicated here. We'll look at it. Verse 3, chapter 12. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars from heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. She brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne, and so on. The woman fled into the wilderness. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. The dragon, of course, here is the devil. Revelation chapter 20 says, that old dragon, the serpent, which is the devil. Chapter 20, the first 4 verses, you'll find that in Revelation. So here, a third part of the stars fall with him. And some say these are literal stars. Could be. I'm not positive. I do know that sometimes angels are referred to as stars. For instance, in this same book, chapter 9, turn back a page, and you look at verse 1, it says, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him, not it, but to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. This star was a person, one outstanding in his field, like a football star or baseball star, so on. And this star took the key to the bottomless pit and opened it, and these demons come out of the bottomless pit. This happens during the tribulation period. And then, too, in Job 38, verse 7, angels are referred to as the stars. It talks about the morning stars singing for joy in Job 38, verse 7, when God created the world. So the Bible seems to indicate that perhaps maybe a third of the angels rebelled with Satan. But we don't know how many. I just leave that with you. We don't know how many. But a number of angels did rebel with him, and they became his angels. So you have now Satan and his angels. I believe that these fallen angels are demons. Demons are not the monstrous offsprings of angels and antediluvian women. But demons are the angels that rebel with Satan. Now, real quickly, let's look at this. There are two groups of angels. Make a note of this. Fallen, unfallen angels, or I'd call them good angels, make it, are fallen angels. To call them bad angels, to make that simple. Unfallen and fallen angels. The unfallen angels are those who did not rebel with Satan. The fallen angels are those that did rebel with Satan. And then in the group of fallen angels, there are also two groups. The fallen angels are divided into two groups. To make it easy to remember, the fallen and fettered, and the fallen and free. Fallen and fettered, fallen and free. What I mean by that, remember when we studied our angels, our demons, the monstrous offsprings of angels and antediluvian women? You remember the two passages, Jude verse 7, where it talks about a group of angels that kept not their first estate but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in chains of darkness under the judgment of the great day. That verse, those angels are better. They're reserved in chains of darkness, judgment. Same thing in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. It talks about a group of angels that sinned, and God cast them down to hell, the place of the dead. The Greek word is tartarus, means a prison house. He cast them down to hell to be reserved in everlasting chains of darkness under the judgment of the great day. Those angels are fallen and fettered. The angels that are fallen and fettered would be the angels that cohabited with women before the flood and produced a race of giants, based on Genesis chapter 6. The fallen and free are the angels who rebel with Satan that we talked about briefly last Sunday in Isaiah chapter 14. It is these free angels that I believe are the demons that we know today and that were in the days of Jesus. the fallen and free angels. They are the demons. I want to share with you some facts about angels. If I can find my notes here, I had them somewhere. Well, I can't find all of them. I don't know what happened to them. But I can share some of the facts with you. Before we go any further, it'll help you when you think about demons as being angels who rebel with Satan. It'll help you. Okay, I knew I had it somewhere. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate that. It had to be somewhere. Okay, here we go. Angels are innumerable. Nobody knows how many angels they are. Let's look at a couple of passages. I want us to read these two together. Let's take the Hebrew passage first. Hebrews 12, 22. Hebrews 12, 22. And when you think about the demons as being maybe a third of the angels that rebel with Satan, then you may get some idea of how many demons there really are. You don't really, it's impossible to pin it down, of course, but it lets you know there's more than one or two at least. The book of Hebrews, if I can find it, I got so nervous about my microphone going on off here, I forgot where I was. And I believe Hebrews in the New Testament, I'm not sure. Hebrews chapter 12, please. Verse 22. All right. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heaven of Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. So, they're innumerable, there's so many. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And this time, verse 11. And I beheld, and go about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And it's almost as if John says shucks and thousands of thousands. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You want to figure that up. Of course, that's a figure of speech. That's like saying I wouldn't give you a nickel for a whole car load. You don't actually mean a car load. By the way, you'll find the expression 10,000 used in the Bible often as a figure of speech. For instance, Paul said, I had rather speak five words of understanding that I might teach others also than to speak 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. He doesn't mean exactly 10,000. He just means, you know, just keep on talking on tongue. He also says, and the book of Jude says in verse 14, that Enoch also prophesied things, talking about the second coming, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. It doesn't mean that there's just 10,000 saints. It just means there's a lot of them. It's a figure of speech that they use. And I would suppose it's a figure of speech here that John uses because it's the same number, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So angels then are innumerable. Angels are also deathless. They do not die. They live forever and ever and ever and ever. Since they do not die, then it stands to reason that there's no need for them to reproduce. There's the same number of angels today that there always has been. There's not one less nor one more. Same number today there always has been. Fourth thing about angels is they differ in power, which is very interesting. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel prayed. And God sends an angel to Daniel with an answer to that prayer. The angel shows up exactly 3 weeks later. And when he does get to Daniel with the answer to the prayer, he explains to Daniel why he's 3 weeks late. By the way, it's in your Bible, Daniel chapter 10. He says to him, the prince of Persia withstood me, a certain prince. I was on my way here with the answer to that prayer, but a certain prince stopped me, and I couldn't make it. And God sent another angel to help that particular angel to get through Satan's territory. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So when that angel got down to the air, the low dense atmosphere, he couldn't come any further. And you say, oh, that I don't believe all that stuff. Well, believe what you want. to, but I happen to read the Bible. I'm a fundamentalist. I'm a literalist. I make no apologies about it. If I didn't believe the Bible, I'd get out of the ministry and make an honest living. I'd be a dishonest crook to be up here preaching something I didn't believe just to get a salary for it. That's the cheapest, lowest, stinkingest sin I know of anywhere, and every modernist ought to quit. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. John said, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on that dragon, that serpent, which is the devil, and he bound him for 1,000 years and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nation no more till 1,000 years were finished. So here's one angel who single-handedly, in Revelation 20, the first 4 verses, single-handedly binds Satan with one hand, opens the key to the bottom, opens the bottomless pit with the other hand, one hand throws the devil in the bottomless pit and seals him up. One angel does that. But in Daniel 10, you have one angel who couldn't even overpower one of Satan's angels. And here you have an angel who overpowers Satan himself. So angels do differ in power. And you'll find that even the demons differ in power as we get a little further in this study of demonology. And I'm anxious to get to demon possession itself and then talk about casting out demons and so on. Angels are created beings. God created the angels. Every one of them. Now, he created man, the first man, Adam. Adam, the only man he ever created, just exactly like he created Adam. But angels are all created beings. They are not the offsprings of other angels. Angels are spirits. Good angels are called ministering spirits. Angels are spirits. They do not have bodies, but they do have appeared. They have appeared on earth in human bodies. They always appear as a male, never as a female. I always want to say, if there's any angels around your house, you know who it is. I say it so much. But I'm trying to get a point over to my wife. But males appeared to Lot. They appeared to Abraham in the Old Testament. But they always appeared as males. Angels have appeared in human bodies. But they are spirits. And so demons then would be fallen spirits. And you'll see as we study the Bible a little further that it calls them spirits. They're always spoken of as masculine. There are two groups of angels. We just looked at that. So I thought I'd give you these facts about angels as taken from the Bible. It's not speculation. It's not somebody's idea. It's what the Bible says about angels. Now that'll help you. When you keep in mind that demons are fallen angels, and then keep in mind these facts about angels, it will help you. And now let me start, I won't be able to even hardly touch it, but let me start on the thought of demon possession. And first I'd make the statement that the term demon possession does not appear in the Bible. And that may surprise you. Now don't misunderstand me, the Bible does say some were possessed with demons. But the term demon possession does not appear in the Bible. There are many accounts of people who were demon possessed. I want us to look at a few of these and we'll have to stop after this. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. Just in case I don't get to give you all these, I'll let you be copying them down. Well, it is a Bible class, I hope, isn't it? I hope you wanted Bible verses instead of what somebody thought about the exorcist. I hope you wanted to know what the Bible said. Somebody that demonology. I'm not sure whether you can or not. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers or different diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils. So you see, though you don't find the term demon possession, here it says people were possessed with devils or demons. And the Amplified Version reads that they were under the power of demons. Thayer, a Greek scholar, also renders it, they were under the power of demons. I checked these other verses out, and most of them have the same in the original Greek, most Greek scholars agree that possess means under the power of demons. And you have all these verses that tell of people being possessed with demons. Turn over in chapter 8, for instance, of Matthew, since you're that close. And this will be about all the time we'll have. But chapter 8, verse 16. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, demons, or many that were under the power of demons. Look at verse 28, that same chapter. All right, I hope you'll make a note of these. Most of these say about the same thing, that certain person was possessed with a demon, or this person was possessed with a demon, and just use the expression, he was possessed with devils, possessed with an unclean spirit, possessed with a demon, and so on. Next Sunday morning, we didn't even touch this morning, but I felt it necessary to do what we've done. I want to continue on demon possession. I'll share with you the marks of demon possession. Be the first thing we'll talk about. I'll give you a definition of demon possession next Sunday morning. Then I'll talk with you about the marks of demon possession. Can you look at a person? Can you tell? Sometimes you can. Demons produce certain effects on people and in people. They attack them physically. They attack them mentally. I hope you'll be here. The marks of demon possession. If I have time, I'll talk to you about the Christian and demon possession. How much power does a demon have over a Christian? There's a difference between demon possession and demon influence. A Christian can be greatly influenced by a demon, though he cannot, at least I believe he cannot be possessed by demons. Some believe that they can. Merle F. Unger, after writing his book on biblical demonology, wrote another book on demons in the world today. And his second book, he seems to have changed his mind after getting letters from many missionaries who said that they knew some young converts who had been demon-possessed and were demon-possessed after their salvation again and gave reasons for it. I'll share some of those thoughts with you, but I'll tell you why I do not believe a Christian can be demon-possessed. Demon influence sometimes can be severe enough to even resemble demon possession, but there's four or five things that are always the difference. A demon-possessed person, when the demon speaks out of the person, and this happens, and don't think I've lost my marbles, I'll give you verses where the demon spoke out of a person, talked to Christ. And I'll show you where the demon spoke out of a person in Acts chapter 19, talked to the seven sons of Sceva and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you? And you say those fellows are having hallucinations. Well, the Bible's inspired, I hope you believe that, because it says here that the devil spoke out of the fellow, the demon spoke out of him and said this. But when a demon is speaking, he always addresses, he refers to himself in the first person. He'll refer to the bystander in the second person, and he'll refer to his victim in the third person. When a person is insane and thinks they are someone else, like maybe Abraham Lincoln or somebody else, they deny their own existence and become somebody else altogether. But a demon-possessed person never denies the existence of his victim. He refers to his victim in the third person, the bystander in the second person, and to himself in the first person in conversation. I hope you'll be here. We'll talk about the Christian demon possession, and then I want to talk with you about the difference between demon possession.
We pray you have been blessed by the message you've just heard. The Sword of the Lord has many helpful materials available for purchase. For a free catalog, please call 1-800-251-4100. Or you may reach us on the web at swordofthelord.com. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.